This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Darius Thomas.
You writing that down there?
And Karina Anglada.
Small wins are actually big wins. They really are.
It's no secret that to navigate the sports industry, a lot of times you might have to move from one place to another, one job to another, or even one city to another. And in this episode, we talk about just that. Welcome back to the Sports Creative Podcast. This time, we are featuring Will Witte. Now, I'm really excited about this particular episode because we caught Will right as he was in between moves from one job to another. He was working at the University of Georgia as a graphic designer, and now his current role is as football art director with Texas A&M University. Will has an outstanding background, excellent expertise as a graphic designer, and we break down how he's navigated his career and some of the things that he's doing right in the midst of his move to a new position. We hope you enjoy this episode. I know I really did. So let's dive right in.
I do have a request from you, though, is that you go to time.is.
I'm there. I'm one step ahead of you.
Okay, well, you get to call it out then.
Okay, let's do 45.
That was terrible.
Our
absolutely garbage.
Sinking.
Absolutely garbage.
Do you have an interest in adding motion design to your skill set, but just aren't sure where to start?
Let's go!
Welcome to Baller FX, your source for sports content and motion tutorials. From tips and tricks to long-form tutorials and project deep dives, there's a lot to take in. There's even a free mini course playlist called How to Animate Sports for Social. This playlist will take you step-by-step through the process of creating a 5-second animated player stat graphic. For your sport-specific motion training, visit BallerFX on YouTube and get started today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Creative Sports Podcast. We have a new guest for you all this week. We have Will Witte, who's the art director for Texas A&M Football. Welcome to the show, Will.
Happy to be here.
We're excited to have you.
So, you just recently became art director for Texas A&M Football, but we're going to ask, like,
Congratulations, by the way.
Absolutely. Congratulations. Welcome to Texas. Talk about your journey. You know, we always like to start with how people got to where they are, all the way back to, you know, from whether when you were a kid as an artist or, you know, high school, when did you get into it? Just give us a little background on how Will Witte got to being an art director.
Yeah, so for me, it started in college, just open Photoshop for fun. Wanted to mess around. I'm a big basketball fan, so I was just making NBA graphics for fun. And I went to college at UC Santa Cruz and played basketball there. And we didn't have
go banana slugs.
Yes, go banana slugs. So we didn't have an Instagram account, so I started one there and started making game day graphics and all that stuff there. And then got injured. I have really bad knees, so I had multiple knee surgeries in college and in high school. So to stay close with the team, I was really just focusing on making cool graphics and just anything helped. Like, Santa Cruz is a Division III school, so there wasn't a lot of stuff being posted about us anyway. So whatever I was making, I had full creative freedom. My coach didn't care. So just making whatever I felt like was cool for the team. At the same time, I was still posting my fun work that I was just doing for just random NBA graphics. And I got noticed by someone that works at Fox Sports. So I ended up working with the FS1 social team, doing graphics for their digital shows and their original podcasts for about 2 years. So it was still in college. I was juggling both UC Santa Cruz men's basketball Instagram and Fox Sports digital intern. Graduated in 2023 in the spring, and then started applying everywhere. Got a call from Jen Gallus from Georgia.
Go Dogs!
Yeah, and decided, you know, try something completely new, move across the country. I didn't know anybody over there. Wanted to try something completely new, and so I did it, and was there for 2 years, and now I'm at Texas A&M as of this week.
Wow, awesome. This is so cool. I have lots of questions. So first of all, had you ever been to Georgia before you took the job?
Well, I accepted, and then I flew to see where I should live.
Sure. So I feel like since you're in it, especially since you said you're just starting your role at Texas A&M, I think moving has got to be a topic for today's podcast in some capacity, because that is such a big part. And, you know, depending on where you decide to take your career, and it sounds like you have to make that decision to move. But I also want to double click, and I hate it when I say that word,
double click,
or that phrase, double click on that, on what you said. You mentioned that someone at Fox Sports noticed your work. Where do you think they noticed it? Did you end up, were you posting, were you publishing your work in places? Had you reached out to people? How did that all come to be? Because you were still in school, you said.
I was, yeah. So I just had an Instagram account, just posting my work there. I got into the whole hashtags thing, so I figured out how to gain more followers that way. And kind of built a little platform there. And my mom was bragging about me at work. So happened that she knew someone that worked at Fox Sports. And
Shout
then she was
mom.
Like, I know. And her friend at work ended up reaching out to her friend at Fox Sports and was like, you should check out this guy's page.
Wow.
He's a college student. I know you're looking for an intern. And she did exactly that. Told me to apply. And that was that.
That is incredible. And also a message, I feel like, to all the listeners, to A, post your work, and B, tell your family members, specifically moms. Like, shout out to moms. I feel like they're the best, always looking out for us. That is such a cool story. And I love that, you know, part of that story for me is that you had already taken initiative by posting your art, your work in a public-facing way. And, you know, for those listening, Will, I saw you kind of smile, like, I've, you know, used the hashtags to, like, you know, get more followers. But I think this is a really important message for all of us. You know, sometimes I think on in sports creative, it's like, oh, are you doing it for clout? Are you doing it for more followers? Well, I think we all deep down, we want to be, right, like, known for the art that we're creating. So I love that story. And while you were in school too, that was amazing. Were you a senior still or like junior? Where were you in your?
So I was a sophomore when happened.
So young.
Yeah. And then COVID hit 2020. So all sports stopped. I had to delay the internship for another year just because they weren't covering anything.
Right.
And so I reapplied in 2021 when sports became a thing. And then our basketball team stopped playing, so I ended up deferring for a year. So I stayed an extra year in college, took a community college class so I could be eligible for this internship, and did it that way.
Wow. So you were kind of, there were some twists and turns of what to do even.
Yeah.
I'm curious, during COVID, did you ever have a sense of like, ooh, maybe I should have reevaluated what I decided to do? Like study and be interested, was that, did you have the doubt creeping in?
For me, the main reason why I deferred I think it was just two quarters. It was mainly for basketball purposes. I was still healthy at the time. I wanted to play a full year, and we weren't playing that whole 2020 year. So I wanted to keep my eligibility, play another year. I still ended up getting hurt my junior and senior year, so it didn't matter anyways. But I don't really have regrets on that deferring process, because I know a lot of people graduated during COVID and it was shaky for them right after college, and just having that extra year to like ground myself and really figure out what I want to do helped.
You know, that really, you know, I talk a lot about making the decision to extend versus rushing to get to, you know, graduation. Oh, I want to graduate in 3 years, or I want to graduate on time in 4 years. And I remember back when I made the decision to extend and take an extra year, and how that the benefit was a month before graduation, someone left and I essentially graduated with a job, right? And so sometimes we're in such a rush to get to the finish line, not understanding that the next race could, you know, if you extend that, you know, that next year could work in your favor. Like you said, people were graduating during COVID. People weren't hiring. People lost jobs, myself included. So the workforce was all over the place. But you, you know, taking that leap to say, you know what, I'm going to extend this out, make everything. What do you think that, I mean, you kind of said that it was basketball focused. But at what point did you realize, like, oh, this is the right decision career-wise to extend your college duration?
I think that was my first opportunity working with, like, an actual organization. I was just doing stuff for fun. So it was a hobby that I knew I was getting better at and had interest in. But actually taking a full 2 years to work with Fox Sports, and kind of like grow my skills for UC Santa Cruz. Like that brand, it was talked about just between teammates and families, but like even just hearing responses from like the incoming freshmen, how pleased they were with how much social media stuff we had going on.
Huge for recruiting. That's awesome.
And then with Fox Sports, just learning, like I learned so much more than just being a graphic designer there. I was cutting live tweets from their studio show. So I was learning that stuff. And I learned a lot of the like social analytics side and like how they approach like their big thing is engagement, like how they try to get the most engagement there. So kind of seeing it from the lens of a designer and the lens of a social media person was super beneficial.
Yeah.
So share the tea with us. What do we need to do to amp up our socials given your background? Because you do have a great presence. And, you know, for those who don't follow you, where can we find you on the socials? And I'd love to hear your approach on, you know, sharing your work, because you seem to be really good at it.
Yeah. No, my big thing starting out was just be consistent with posting. So I started out just posting on Instagram. Learned a lot of more of the professionals were on Twitter. So I started a Twitter account kind of when I graduated and started posting my work there, and then posting my work from Georgia. And that, once I started like getting into a flow at Georgia and that like brand consistency kicked in for some of the teams I was working with, it was easy just to be like, here's what I'm doing for baseball right now or this sport. Mm-hmm. Then recently I just got on TikTok. I know that's a big thing now for sharing your work on TikTok. So just kind of being everywhere and knowing that different platforms are for different purposes, and knowing like your audience on each platform, and just being yourself. I'm not trying to, you know, I don't actually use hashtags now. I did starting out because my goal was to be big on social media, but my thing now is just like be yourself, post your work, and, you know, create those communities through all those social media accounts and networks that people want to come back to you just to interact, and then you share the love as well to them. And we're all connected in this world through social media in this sports world, and I think it's important to just be active on there.
Yeah. And on IG, for those that want to follow, witty.creative, I believe. Did I say that correctly?
Yes. Witty Creative was taken, so I had to put a period in between.
Got it. And last name, W-H-I-T-T.
Why?
Why?
Yes.
Yeah. So you can Google the name, but follow our guy. That I love hearing about your journey. And you mentioned something too that I'm also curious about. You mentioned your time at Georgia. That is the one thing all three of us have in common, is we have all lived in the beautiful Athens, Georgia at one Absolutely. Point or another. So this is so fun just to chat about and to, you know, have connection there. But you just mentioned once you kind of settled in and, you know, finalized kind of the brand consistency, what was that? What is that process like, and yes, you can, you know, describe it in the context of Georgia, but from a design standpoint, like, what are the challenges of that? What is exciting about that to you? And how do you make a brand consistent through design?
Yeah, we, my second year at Georgia was a big example of that, where Chad Moorhead, he was the director of football for 5 years before that. He kind of stepped in to kind of create that brand at Georgia. And so, like, I saw it from the ground up there. But, like, I think it depends when you come in at a certain situation. Like, at Texas A&M right now, I'm starting where we have a game on Saturday. So, obviously, there's been a brand kind of started over the summer. And I feel like I'm kind of running around with my head cut off, trying to figure everything out. But I think the thing is, once, like, if you're coming in a situation where a brand's in place, I think the important thing for me was, how do I bridge that gap, try to match that style of that previous designer or previous creative direction? And once I get into a flow, how can I implement what I do best into that brand? And so that's that way. But if you're coming in at the start of a brand, I think it's just research, find your identity, how you want to portray the team through graphics. You know, I leaned on the SIDs and assistant coaches to kind of give me mottos that they are going by that year or whatnot as, like, the starting point, how I can apply that into graphics. And it takes a little bit. I think ideally you'd probably want, if you can, I know in athletics it's fast moving, but, like, you can have, like, a month buildup of, like, ideation for a week, you know, trying stuff out for a week, putting together actual mock templates and then revising all that. That's, like, I would say a good chunk of time where I feel like you can go into a season with a good plan for the season.
Yeah. So I'm going to rewind you a little bit back to, you know, going from Santa Cruz to Georgia. So when you initially got to Georgia, I know you said that, you know, Jen reached out to you about this position. Like, what was the initial role that you were going there for? Because I know that, you know, over the past year, you've been working with men's basketball, which we'll get to. But what was the initial role that you were going to Georgia and accepted a position for?
It was just graphic design for all of athletics. So there are a couple positions that opened up, and we were the first, like, two full-time athletics graphic designers. Because before it was just grad assistants, and then some teams had their own designers. But yeah.
And that's a good thing to mention real quick. I just want to chime in for those listening and those that might be, still be in, you know, university or college or looking for that next step in your career a few years from now. A lot of the athletic departments have graduate assistantship type roles that are, you know, they're like full-time jobs sometimes, based on what I understand. They're not the best paying, right? You know, depending on where you are, but that is something that I just wanted to call out for those listening. And but Darius, you were going to ask something.
Oh yeah. And to extend what you were talking about, you know, there are GA spots out there. There are post-grad interns, there are internships, there are, you know, some volunteer work. Sometimes it's entry. I get so many levels of, you know, I think a lot of times people look for the big job, like, oh, I'm graduating, I want to be the art director for, you know, it. There's a journey, to get to those seats, even if you're, you know, great. Which, you know, we'll have some episodes where we definitely go into the intricate things about job titles and how you get them and that the schools, the department doesn't always come up with it. There's a lot to know about jobs. But so was this your first time? I know that you interned with Fox, but, you know, in college, you were basically doing graphics for your team, right? Talk about the learning curve to go from one team to now dealing with, you know, 17, 20 other, you know, sports, some that you may have heard of, some that you may not have or ever even thought about creating for. What was that kind of learning curve and experience for you?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't easy. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but I think that's when I learned the importance of structure for me, making sure like I write everything down. I already kind of am that person, but like that just amplified it even more that I need to like stay on top of things. For me also, it was a learning point where I felt like I had to be a little more present with teams. I was always behind the computer taking orders. I had to be kind of present with multiple teams to get an understanding, because kind of being away from them, it felt like I couldn't produce the work that they needed or I felt like was good enough. So just being involved as best as you can, that was a big important thing for me.
With that note, did you feel like removed from, you know, the character and the culture of the team? And that's kind of what you meant, like getting to know the staff and the student athletes, that kind of thing. Like, is that what you were saying?
I think just more being in a new place, like not knowing anybody, not knowing Georgia athletics at all, or Georgia in general. So just kind of,
that's a real thing.
Yeah. Putting yourself out there and making sure you kind of have to start that connection. Because people just may assume I'm from Georgia, grew up a Georgia fan. And that wasn't the case.
Well, and that's such an interesting part of the conversation, because I think as someone that maybe is less familiar with the university and not having grown up, you almost see things with some fresh eyes from a design perspective. And as you were talking about that, I was remembering when I moved to Auburn for the first time. And I remember seeing, it was the Thursday before a Saturday football game, even Wednesday night, you would see the trailers coming in. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, wait, what's going on? Like, this is a thing, right? Like, I just wasn't used to that because I went to a Big Ten school, you know, tailgating was big, but not like it is in the SEC. So it is interesting, I feel. Like, did you take any of that, like, fresh eyes into any of your designs, you think? Or like, did that help you kind of build some of the designs at all? Or was it more so you're just like, I'm collecting all of this information to help the overall aesthetic?
I think it was probably a little bit of both. I think my first thing was just figuring out Georgia athletics. Not ever living in the South and experiencing an SEC football game and getting all those first experiences. Definitely, I probably noticed things that other people weren't. You know, I don't truly know that, but just because I'm probably looking at areas where they're like, oh, I've seen that a million times, I don't need to see it again. I would say I probably was seeing it from a different lens.
Any highlights from your time working with Georgia, like any designs that you're particularly proud of or a particular moment in your career that you felt like, wow, like this was iconic?
I think the first time I felt that was going through baseball season year one. It was kind of a little, that was my first like team I was given. And I was finding my footing in the beginning. A theme kind of was told, the coach told us that a theme wasn't going to work like 10 days before the season. So I went into ultimate scramble mode. It ended up being pretty successful. So I carried that momentum when I took over for Jordan Lane, who left for men's basketball, carried that momentum from baseball season into basketball. But that was the first moment where I was like, wow, okay, this is a, I can do this.
Like, I can do this. Yes, yeah. There are roadblocks that come with the job. That's a real thing where it's like, oh, shoot, we got less than 2 weeks before a season. And the client, in this case, the coach, has not approved, right? Mm-hmm. You know, a theme is like a lot from design standpoint. So that's a shout out to you, A, for being, you know, obviously flexible enough to pivot. I know in some instances, some people might be like, nah, like this is what we're doing. Like we don't have time. Pivoting, also being flexible, and then, you know, finding something that worked for both Georgia, the coach, you, all those things. So that's a great example. I love that. And that's reality. Sometimes we run into what we think is a good idea, but it's just, it doesn't align, right, with the overall client vision. And I remember working in the college athletic side, and the coaches, I treated them as if they were clients in some instances, right? Like you have to have that kind of dynamic. But that's a great example there.
So kind of to extend on that is, how do you deal with, you know, if someone else was in a similar situation, or you would be giving them advice on how to deal with adversity, you know, with a client, with or pushback? How do you deal with that without coming off as controversial or hard to deal with, or, you know, kind of, oh, this guy just wants to push back instead of, you know, adjust?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously they're the client. You kind of have to make sure that they get what they need. But it's kind of like they don't understand. Not everybody. A lot of people might not understand what we do as creatives and that process and how long things take and what's going on from a day to day. So if you can kind of connect with them on that point and show how the process, maybe how you got there, I think they're more willing to trust you in your job while meeting their needs. And just kind of like having that just basic human interaction of just like, this is how I got here. I know you don't like this, but I think it might look weird if we do this way. I'm open to it, but how about these directions? So it's like, kind of just not taking it. I think you have to be able to take criticism in this industry. I mean, I hear it all the time.
True.
But like,
I disagree. I'm just kidding.
I was like, what?
But you also know, you have to know when you can push back. You know, some fights are not worth fighting. But if you can do that, I think they're going to trust you and giving you a little more creative freedom if they can know that you know what you're doing. They learn your process a little more and get into a flow from there.
Yeah.
So here's my follow-up. When do you push back?
Yeah.
Like, how can you... What? I mean, this is an interesting question because you're also in a new beginning at a new role, new gig. So like, at what point do you feel, let's give some parameters to it. Maybe it's a meeting where we're discussing a theme, right? Like, how would you know to say like, oh, now's a good time that I need to push back on said idea?
This is my first, like, I guess, director level role. So for me before,
sure,
you know, I would talk with my boss. Mm-hmm. I still have a boss here.
Yeah.
But,
yep.
I talk
yep.
with my boss, you know, I feel like if you have that connection with your boss where you can be open with them, not be combative, that's like the first big step.
Yeah.
If you have someone in your corner that can vouch for you, fight your battles that maybe you can't fight as much. That's step number one. And I think just kind of creating that culture where, like, if you're leading a team in a meeting or if you're pitching an idea, and I guess I haven't been in the situation as a leader yet. I'll probably experience it this year.
Sure. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think just knowing that you got to approach it in a calm way, in a calm, cool, and collected way. You can't come into it too hot. You got to be able to hear the other person out. So if you give your counterpoint and you're trying to talk over them, I think that's red flag number one. You got to let them talk too, hear them out. And yeah, that's how I've approached it. You know, just having a good boss in your corner and just being respectful of them and their idea, hoping they do the same for you.
With that being said, and we don't have to harp on this one, but these are good conversations because obviously
mental exercises.
Right.
Too.
This Georgia situation, and it's not to throw Georgia under the bus or their coach, because if I remember correctly, this was going into his first year. So he was, you know, trying to create some culture and all that. At the time, though, this is your first, you know, kind of big boy job, right? Did you feel comfortable enough? Like, you know, you talked about, oh, well, you're trying to, you know, the coach is the client and all that. Those are great politically correct answers. But was it also another piece of like, I'm just getting started in this industry. I can't create a bad name for myself by pushing back early.
Yeah.
Like, was it some of that? Was it some imposter syndrome? Like, kind of walk us through that, because sometimes timing is everything. Like, if you haven't built a rapport, or, you know, you're not a seasoned, you know, designer or art director at that point, do you feel like you can? And at what point did you get to, whether it was, you know, towards the end of your first year at Georgia or second year when you were working with basketball, like, did you have any of that tension? And at what point did that start to shift?
I think it was when I felt like I could make those calls or make those statements. It was probably when I was able to get into the room where those ideas were happening. I think initially, you know, probably that baseball incident, I was very like, let me make sure it's his first year. Let me make sure he gets what he needs. You know, he's a new hire. He wants to come in and create a new culture. And, you know, I was kind of going off of what last year's brand was doing a little bit. And that was a different coach. And so for me, I was learning the whole time. So I think kind of starting fresh and going off of his ideas and then eventually making it my own was very helpful for me in just like getting into a flow and getting that confidence and getting out of that imposter syndrome that I for sure had when I started at Georgia. By the time when I got to basketball, when I was in those meetings with those coaches, they were a little more relaxed too. They didn't really push back too much, but where I could like dictate what's being made, how's it being made, even what, to some extent, what's being posted. And that just came with confidence from knowing that I was able to do it with baseball and then carrying it over through that the rest of the time at Georgia.
I love that perspective. And I think it's, you know, refreshing to hear, especially given that my partner is a coach, right? So they're very particular about messaging and all the things that you said about if they are coming into a new team, a new school, right? There's a lot that they're considering that even, you know, when I was on the video side in working in-house, I'm like, oh, everything I'm doing is for the benefit of the university, right? Like the decisions I'm making as a creative are for the benefit of the university, which is the program, which is the team, which is the student athletes, which is then trickles down to me, right? Because we're all like in one team, but there are things that maybe you don't realize is actually going on, or things that they might have experienced at another university. And what I'm hearing is so much of this is really like foundational, like relationship 101, relationships and understanding people and reading rooms. I think these are like the soft skills that like no one really told me that I would need to be good at these things when I was like studying the craft in college, but they really do make a difference in the long run. And it sounds like it's benefited you in a lot of ways. So shout out to you.
So What was the difference between working for multiple sports and then becoming hyper-focused with one? Mm. And how do you feel like working multiple either helped or hindered working for just one from a creative standpoint?
Working multiple, you know, you got to get your organization right because there's so many different requests coming from different areas that if you're not organized, you're just going to drown in all the work. But being able to do that helped me prepare for, you know, it sped up a lot of design processes for me, like streamlining all that stuff, not trying to go into each design thinking that this has to be the best graphic ever, because I would get stuck or it would definitely not turn into the best graphic ever. Knowing that some graphics kind of just have to go with the brands, just need to be done as simple, not simple, but just as effective as it can be without going overboard. And then when I had more time to focus on one brand, I was already faster with my process in designing, where I could think about it, the brand a little bigger and have more time for that, to where my ideas that I felt like I had starting out as a designer, where I give myself all day to make a graphic and post it, came back to me, to where I was thinking of all these elaborate ideas and how it could weave into the brand. You know, if I had 6 hours for a graphic instead of making a static graphic, let's kind of push myself and make a motion graphic, incorporating all the brand elements and all that. So working with all the sports sped up my process. Working with one sport allowed me to, I was already faster working with other sports, so it allowed me to explore my creativity a little more.
I love that.
Same.
Let's talk Georgia basketball. So
wait, before we talk Georgia basketball, I just had a thought.
Okay.
Based on your previous answer, how do you streamline the design process? And like, actually, let me rephrase that question. What is your favorite way to streamline the design process? Like, if you had to choose one, I know there's lots of different ways to probably speed up your workflows, but what is your favorite way? I'm just curious.
Making sure you have a good Adobe libraries. I think pulling assets from there. Like basically all the stuff that is like, you don't need to overthink it. You don't need to overthink font selection, textures. Like once you create one background, that's four backgrounds. Mm. You just rotate it four ways. And then you could switch that colors wise too. So then there's 12 if you have three colors. So if I could streamline all the mundane stuff and focus on the layout or the photo usage or the effect on the graphic, that freed up my mind on thinking about stuff that really should be just consistent and connects everything together, and I can create more elaborate graphics without, I feel like, stressing my creative mind out more than it needs to.
Yeah, I love that example because it's like, in a way, you're playing a numbers game. I love the way you broke that down. It's like, yeah, you can just rotate it. And I think that's the fun part about like creativity is like, oh, let's play around with like the box, right? Like literally move it. And I think sometimes we think the box is just like this one, you know, it needs to be straight up and down and nothing else, nothing more. I love that. I love that. So going from 4 to 12. Very good advice.
And stretching
content. You must be good at your job or something.
Yeah, stretching content. I think as creatives, sometimes we want to like reinvent the wheel every single time.
And yeah.
Like, we got to come up with a new idea. But like you just sometimes it comes down to simply simplifying something.
100%. Well, because sports move so quickly. It's not, we don't have time always. Of course, we all want to spend hours upon hours upon a graphic, but like there's only so much time in a day. The game is, you know, how many days away or hours, depending on, you know, if it's a win graphic you're putting together and you need to get that out like sooner rather than later. So I love that perspective, and it sounds like you've got all of your assets kind of in this like one arsenal, using like the Creative Cloud Library. So that's awesome.
Shout out to that company.
Shout out. I wasn't going to say anything, but Darius, you teed me up for
you
that.
You don't have to. That's why we're here. And I feel like in a design world, that's where you all have like a little bit more advantage over photographers and videographers, where you can kind of repurpose and rearrange. And, you know, it's a layout thing for us. It's like if we go to the game and shoot from the same location or edit the same way, it becomes stale. But graphically, you can do those things more, and it's more so welcome, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Jordan Lang, who you mentioned, worked at Georgia Basketball, took a job elsewhere, left you shoes to fill, and you stepped into that. What kind of went into that process of working with Georgia Basketball? You know, he set such a great bar and example. Were you trying to just reinvent, or were you thinking like, oh, because sometimes you can say, oh, well, Jordan did that, I'm going to go completely different. Or, you know, or I'm just going to take all his assets and just update, right? So what was your mindset going into, last basketball season and, kind of creating for the team?
I knew going into it, and that's kind of my philosophy, is I don't want to completely change a brand when I walk into it, because I feel like that can be a little drastic. And especially for someone like Jordan, who had created such a, at least amongst the creative community, such a recognizable brand, where I did feel like, okay, I can't mess up his baby. So let me just ease into it, get into a flow of how Jordan would design. Because he's very, like, sitting next to him, working on other sports and seeing how he designed was super interesting. And it was different than how I had ever designed. So kind of learning that a little bit, going into it, picking his brain when I can. And then once I actually got into that role, like, it honestly probably took a month or two, maybe more, like a month and a half, to like feel like, okay, I'm designing like Jordan. Now, how do I take this kind of style and elevate it to where what I want to do without like straying too far from what he did? And that was my process going into it.
Yeah. And you did great. And so the next thing that I want to talk about is, as younger creatives, we like to mention Gen Zers, is what I call them. A lot of you, whether it's photo, video, graphics, whatever, like, you take stuff and it's an eagerness to just do your own thing, right? You mentioned Jordan, you mentioned Chad, you know, we mentioned Jen Elijah. Like, you were surrounded by, you know, you had Amaya working with you for a year. Actually, Amaya was one of my interns at Texas, my last year there.
She's awesome.
Amazing. But you're around all of these amazing people that you can pull from, right? And it wasn't, or, you know, was there a feel or a need to like, oh, I gotta, you know, elevate so fast? Or was it like, I'm around all of these amazing creatives, I'm going to learn and be a sponge versus trying to, you know, go and create your own path just so that it can be about, you know, will. You're actually able to pull something from, you know, that energy from all of the people that you were able and fortunate enough to work with.
Yeah, no, I definitely leaned on my coworkers and my creative team. That's coming out of college. I felt like I was a designer that kind of just worked on it my own. Like, I was remote for that whole Fox Sports internship. So I did it out of my house in college, and then doing stuff for UC Santa Cruz. You know, I was the only one that knew graphic design. So I wanted my first role to be around such a talented group, where I didn't want to come in maybe someone that might not know or might know the most. I wanted to come in probably at the bottom and be like, okay, how can I soak up as much creative information as I can and get myself better? and not try to come in with some ego or anything. So that was my process, trying to learn from everyone there.
Yeah. And that's a great way, like you, and that's the great thing about Georgia over the course of time, right? Like there have been a number of creatives, I'm not counting myself, that have come through any part of that department, whether it was football, whether it was, you know, working directly with basketball, gymnastics, the full department, GBSM, like there has been a ton of talent. And when you're in a environment where you can, you know, challenge each other and it's not competition, it's more so like we're all teammates. Like that was one of the places that I could honestly say that I got better because of my teammates. And that's the thing that I've always enjoyed about, you know, the people at Georgia. So more connections with Georgia. Obviously, I work there. Karina lives there. I think she lives around somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Not putting all your business out there. but actually, Mike White, I'm an Ole Miss grad. Mike White is an Ole Miss grad. Todd Abernathy and I went to school together.
Okay.
Charles Mann was one of my athletes when I was at Georgia. So a lot of ties with that. As creatives, sometimes, you know, we may feel like outcasts as the creative arm of the team, right? Not the creative team, but the basketball team. When you're working with a team like Georgia basketball, now you'll be working with A&M football, how do you kind of integrate yourself into the team to not feel like an outcast or that you're at an arm distance? Like for people who may be stepping into, you know, a GA role or entry level or whatever, how can they ensure that they are part of the team without being like a, you know, without forcing themselves to like, oh, I could go sit by the coach, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I think just being in their building, like not obviously in places you shouldn't be, but like we met with one of the assistant coaches or recruiting people there on a weekly basis, just kind of, you know, he didn't really like, Amaya and I came with creative ideas. He also came with creative ideas, and then we kind of worked it from there and then planned what we were going to post later. But just like being in those rooms and those environments, I played pickup with them every once in a while. So kind of learning personalities from there and like even meeting like the sports trainers and like the managers and like introducing yourself to the players when it's appropriate and everything. Just trying to not be on the team, but be affiliated with the team as best as you can. I know I've only been at Texas A&M for 3 days. I've already gone to one of those like big meetings where they're all in the room and I've sat there and just kind of like, I felt like a player, but I know I'm not a player, but like being in that room is just like, okay, I feel like connected to this team more than kind of being in a separate room. And I think a lot of designers might tend to lean towards just being in their office working on their designs because they have a lot to do, but like pushing yourself to be a little more present around the team, being present around other people, and just like you'll feel connected a lot better that way, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it makes for a better experience, I think, right? You develop better connections and relationships with people. You have a better understanding of sometimes things that, you know, you might not have been aware of had you not literally just been in the room.
Yep.
So I love that perspective. And it's 3 days into your gig. I mean, talk about balancing time. Thank you for taking the time to be with us on the pod and on a late evening in the midst of moving and starting a brand new role. As somebody who has made that move and, you know, moved to different cities for a new job entirely, where are you in the move right now? How are you feeling? You know, let's be real. I know it can be, at least for me, I don't want to speak for you, it can be kind of anxiety inducing, like, you know, starting from the beginning, how are you feeling as you are 3 days into your gig?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's a video aspect of this, but my living room is just a plant. So having some moving difficulties with my stuff, but, I got an air mattress, so I got a place to sleep.
Hey,
yeah,
that is very useful. Sleep is very important.
Yep. Yep. I mean, it's especially coming in on a game week. It is not easy.
Sure.
Onboarding, yeah. Making sure I can even get access to the building. But just making sure like Rome wasn't built in a day. So you're going to come in, get some small wins each day, small wins each week. That'll pile up and then you'll get into a flow. That's how I've kind of always been, just like not stressing over trying to get everything done in one day, but stacking those small wins that will just pile on each other. And eventually for me, I know I'm going to get into that flow. It's just a matter of time to do it. And I know here, once I get my stuff, I think I'll feel a little better. And experience my first game on Saturday. I think after that, smooth sailing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know who you guys are playing, but good luck.
Yeah, good luck. I also have to say, just based on that answer, I feel like I got a glimpse into like what you may have been like as a student athlete press conference. I felt like your answer was like, yeah, I'm, you know, starting to get in the groove of everything. We need to do a series around that. Maybe something for TikTok, something silly like, you know, the creatives.
Yes, I think I've seen that, but if we haven't, post-design. We should definitely do a this would be a creative post game, like their thoughts or pre press conference for the upcoming game or event.
Or a big game coming up or a big event. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. Maybe we got to add that to it.
Got a little coach speak over there, Will.
Yeah, I did hear. I'm like, I see the leader coming out right now. Like the small wins. I'm like, yeah, let's get the small wins. I think it's a good reminder. Like I'm joking. I'm joking, but I'm also serious because it's so overwhelming. Like our to-do lists, I think, you know, even in the work that I'm doing, I'm not working in sports directly anymore, but there are times where I'm like, oh my gosh, I got this big project. I'm never going to finish it. And it really is a matter of breaking down those bigger projects into those smaller wins. So I know we're joking here, but I'm also very serious. Like I was actually taking notes. I was writing down
small wins. We're going to name the episode Small Wins.
Small wins are actually big wins. They really are.
Absolutely. They're points. So, Will, we've talked about like kind of the work. Let's take a little deeper dive in like inspiration and influence. Like where do you draw, you know, now you're an art director, you'll probably have a little bit more influence on, you know, especially as you progress through this year and forward, right? But where do you draw your inspiration for creativity? And who are some of those influences that you, you know, may look to for design ideas or anything like that?
Name dropping, the first designer I probably ever followed was Tyson Beck. I feel like he was kind of a pioneer creative space on the design side. But for me, my inspirations kind of shifted from where I started to now. It was kind of just following other sports designs. I still do that. But I think when I leveled up in design, it was finding inspiration outside of sports, in the environment. Like when I moved to Georgia, I was actually just taking stuff in for the first time. So processing it all and being like, actually, that could be cool. To use in a design and all that stuff. Jordan Lane was very good at finding textures in real life and implementing it into his work. So kind of going into that mindset, going to Texas A&M, like I don't think I even told them this, but I did walk around the stadium taking pictures of the ground. Don't know if I'll ever use it, but like just kind of trying to find inspiration and stuff outside of sports, because we're always looking at the same thing. And some people, I think, I mean, myself included, I did this, like, they might just look at sports graphics and that's their only reference. So everything coming out from them might just be a producing something that is already made in their style. I think that's a big thing that I would want. I feel like the creative community moving forward is try to find unique ways to get that inspiration. And for me, that's how I felt like I definitely leveled up as a designer.
I love it. And, you know, life outside of sports proves that there's more to life than just the sport, right? Or how many, and it also helps you kind of uncover how many things are tied to sports. So like, whether it's a newspaper, that's something that you can tie to sports, whether it's music, whether it's cars, whether it's dance, whether, you know, pictures of the ground, like there's stuff that you can always tie back into how that does work for sport. So work aside, because we know working in college athletics, there is a lot of work, you know, especially with football. It's 24/7, 364 days a year. We'll say we'll give them one day off. What do you like to do? And, you know, this is still fresh for you. So, you know, what are some types of things that you like to do outside of the job?
Love playing basketball when I can, being active. I'm pretty open. True hooper, yes. I'm pretty open. Like, when I have a good social group and they want to suggest something, I'm pretty down to do whatever. Like, I at Georgia, once I got kind of connected with those younger people, like Maya and everybody in there, we'd go to movies. I'm a film digital media major, so I love a good movie. Go to movies, we'd go, you know, just try new food. We did axe throwing. That was my first time going axe throwing. So
in
I
kind of just,
yep.
Oh, I need to know the spot because that sounds like a great stress reliever for me.
I think it's called Lumberjacks.
Okay.
It's downtown. Yeah.
Nice.
But just like, just being adventurous and being open to trying new things, food, activities, you name it.
So we got to ask, what's the top three movies on your list?
Top three movies. Okay. Are we including?
Or three on your top 10 list? Because I know some people get anxiety when I'm like, I can't pick the top three.
Three's pretty, that's pretty condensed.
So I have a list that I say that includes Marvel movies because I love Marvel. And I have one that doesn't include Marvel.
Okay.
I'll start with the one that doesn't include Marvel.
Okay.
Arrival.
Okay.
It's kind of, it's not super popular, but it's about aliens coming down. And it's not like a fighting movie. It's got some twists and turns. I love a good twist in a movie. Parasite.
Great film. I was skeptical about Parasite. I was nervous to watch it, but wow.
And then Get Out. Those are my non-Marvel list. And then, because I'm a Marvel nerd, I would choose Spider-Man No Way Home, Into the Spider-Verse, the animated one. And I like Endgame more than Infinity War.
I love it. That's a solid, that's a very solid list. I also want to admit that I have not seen Get Out. And I feel like I need my culture card of being in the U.S. needs to be revoked or something because I haven't seen it. But I'm also like kind of afraid of it.
It's like, not, I hate horror movies. And I didn't get, I mean, there's a couple times where I was like,
I've never seen Get Out because I don't watch movies like that. But
wait, what?
I don't watch
movies. Wait a minute.
No, I still haven't seen Sinners. So
hold up.
I don't watch a lot of movies. I'm more of a shows guy.
Time out. You work in the industry. How do you not watch films?
Because if I go, so, and I was going to ask this question, being a film person, you know, what you got your degree in, are you going to the movies to actually enjoy the movie, or are you dissecting the movie from, you know, all the different ways, whether it's camera angles, colors, all of those different things. Because that's why I choose not to watch a whole lot of movies. Is that
got it? Because your brain is on.
It's. I can't even tell you the last movie that I went to see in the theater. So.
Yeah. No. I think being. I started out just editing videos for fun in college. I think now being more in the graphic side, I enjoy movies. I don't go and just try to dissect it all.
Yeah. So graphic designers, I am envious of, because you all could listen to music all day and work, right? That's the only thing that I do love about when I have to make graphics, is that I can turn on a podcast or music. So we talked about top three movies that you like. What are some genres of music or types of music? Or are you like a silent designer where you don't listen to a whole lot while you're working? Like, what's the vibes over there?
Yeah, it depends on how much work I have. If I need to ultra lock in, silence or lo-fi beats.
Okay.
Nobody singing.
Love it.
But if I'm in my creative flow, I'm trying to pull up my playlist here. I have Chance the Rapper is my number one.
His last album is fire.
The latest one?
Yes.
Mac Miller.
Okay.
Childish Gambino.
Love Gambino. Okay.
Those are probably my three on this creative list that I have.
But still some kind of podcast. Yeah, still some kind of lo-fi. Like, it's, you don't have like punk or like rap or anything like that would put you in a different element. So those are definitely great choices.
Here's my question though: is your playlist different from when you were a student athlete and hooping at Santa Cruz, UC Santa Cruz? Or is it pretty consistent?
I would say it's consistent.
Okay.
I have some hype up playlists.
Yeah.
But it's more for like the gym, if I need to like get myself into a mode. But if I'm just going out there and just practicing, shooting around, I like to be in that calm mode of like nothing crazy on the music and just get in my flow.
You know what's so funny about this is I found a soundtrack that when I need to just like lock in for a second and just like focus, because I'm a little bit all over the place depending on the day and if I've got lots of meetings that day, I will play the Donkey Kong Country like Super Nintendo soundtrack. And I swear it is, I don't know if it's just like the nostalgia for me. And like, I know the levels of like each song, and they have like high energy ones and some low energy, like softer tunes, like lo-fi kind of vibes. I love that album. And it's like, it's become, like when I need to get into the rhythm, I'll play that. So it's so fun, like hearing, you know, what everyone uses. And it's different. Like you said, in some instances that you need silence. And I'm the same way. Like I, sometimes when I'm driving, I don't know. Do you guys do this? I like need silence when I'm driving.
I do.
Or are you always putting the tunes on?
No, I do it often. Like,
you're silent, Darius?
Like, I'm probably 60%.
Okay.
Not playing anything. Like, I'm either on a call, listening to, like, I posted like last weekend, because I was listening to some new music. I do a car test with certain albums to see, you know, if they really sound good or if they're just, you know, like phone records. But yeah, I drive in silence like more. Like sometimes I just don't feel like going through the process of like hitting play or finding something or whatever. But yeah. What about you, Will?
I think I'm a music all the time.
Huh?
I don't think I've ever gotten to my car without first picking a song.
You're like unless my partner.
Unless I'm running late, then I gotta just go.
Then you're focused. Yeah. That's real.
All right, Karina, pull out the phone. It's game time. It's game week. It's go time. The season opens, but we also just like to play, you know, a little creative game. You got 30 seconds Will, and we typically switch it up. Don't really give you a heads up of what it is. Your designer.
He mentioned he's listened to the pod. He might have heard an episode or two where he knows what's coming. You
know, he may have heard a little something. Name as many things that you have to have as a designer on a day-to-day basis. I'm going to help you a little bit and say that it doesn't have to be restricted to just the tools to create a graphic, anything that you need. You got 30 seconds. Are you ready?
Ready.
Go.
I need a mouse, a monitor, a keyboard, a weekly schedule planner, a notebook, chapstick, some sort of snack, and some water. I got like a stress ball and like one of those pads that makes my desk not just wood. Mm-hmm. It's got to be padded. Blue light glasses, got to protect my eyes. External hard drive.
And time is at 12.
That's 12 pretty good.
That was great. All right. You mentioned snacks. We're foodies over here. What's your go-to snack?
I think I went to that gas station right by Georgia a lot, and I would pick up voodoo chips and Nerd gummy clusters.
What are voodoo chips?
Voodoo chips. It's just like
the they're like at Potbelly's, the brand, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
they're like potato chips.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got it.
And then I would also get a vitamin water. Those are my three go-tos. Dragon fruit.
Okay.
Ooh.
That's great.
Nerd gummies, you said?
Nerd gummy clusters.
Ooh. Listen, I know those things are terrible, but they're so good.
Yeah.
They're so good.
So the follow-up to that is, I tell people all the time that Athens is the most underrated place for food. Now, I haven't been in 7 years, so I don't know if the food scene is still as amazing as it was. What were your top spots to go get food, whether lunch or dinner?
Lunch or dinner.
Or breakfast. I mean, they got some good breakfast spots. Shout out to Mama's Boy.
I was going to say that. Mama's Boy is probably number one for me for breakfast.
Yum.
Emmy Squared, great pizza place downtown.
Okay.
I don't know if does Watkinsville count. It's close enough.
Absolutely.
That counts.
Kike's, best birria I've ever had.
I still haven't been there.
It's
I need
so
to
good.
Go.
So
okay.
Good.
Say less. I'm going.
I literally just discovered it like 2 weeks before I moved too, so I'm pretty disappointed.
Oh, isn't that the worst?
Yeah,
or when you go to a new spot and you like the place you always went to for lunch, like they don't have
clothes.
It or a chain or whatever. Oh man. For me, in Detroit, in Michigan, when I lived there, it was Penn Station, the subs place. Oh my gosh, they're fresh cut fries. And then when I moved to Alabama, I was like, there's no Penn Station nearby. Anyways, I understand what you're saying.
I wish I knew
you'll find spots in College Station.
Yeah, I wish I knew spots in College Station that to, you know, point you towards. I've been there 5 or 6 times, but I couldn't tell you anything.
I know they have good Tex-Mex. Mm-hmm. And one of the players recently just said they have the best crawfish he's ever had here. So I don't know where that is.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, you added the here in
okay.
there because
I don't know if he's from here. He just said it on an interview.
Darius is a little bit of a snob.
I'm New Orleans adjacent by living in Mississippi. So, you know, crawfish people in Louisiana are very particular about that. So,
gotcha.
But yeah, so we've talked about all the good things and especially food. We could have a whole show about food, which we should. We should definitely do a show where we talk about different foods in different places. Regardless, what is some advice that you would, you know, you've been in the industry a few years now, you've been to some really good places. I think you'll absolutely rock it at Texas A&M. What is some advice that you would give to the next generation or people who are maybe like right behind you or right beside you that are looking to get into the industry that you've learned over the last few years that you would like to pay it forward?
I think first important thing is post your work. That's how I broke in. That's honestly how I got my Texas A&M gig. It's posting my work from Georgia. They saw it, reached out. That's number one. Don't worry. Think of it more, for me, it's more as like a active portfolio. I don't think about it as like, I'm trying to get this amount of likes, this amount of followers. That's the mindset I go into it with. Second is create your community, lean on one another. We're all creatives at every level. Doesn't matter if you're a student or a manager, just create your community wherever that is, and learn, be open to learning from one another. And I think the third thing, and I kind of just learned this from Chad before I left, is kind of like moving up the ranks for me. Like, your work takes you to a certain point, like the type of work you create and the hours you put in. But what's going to take you even beyond that is those soft skills and how approachable you are, how you treat others, and all that. And this whole creative space is so connected that word gets around. So if you do that the right way, you're going to set yourself up for success moving along throughout your career.
Wow. Talk about final words to leave us with. I mean,
mic drop. Another question,
Darius, but just had the, yeah. Well, I'm like, we can end the pod right now. That was amazing.
And that's the beauty about this not being a live podcast, is that we can always rearrange the questions, right?
True. No, so, but I do want to say that, like, great. That is such great advice. And I can tell, I see why you are where you are today, right? I'm maybe speaking for you, but super young, super driven, and understand people. And I think that just in this conversation we've had, it resonates and it really comes through. And so I'm really, really excited to see all the things that you do with Texas A&M. And I root for people. I root for teams now based on people that I know that work for the organizations or the universities. So even though I'm a Georgia girly and I support Auburn and I graduated from Illinois, I will be rooting for Texas A&M because of you as well.
I cannot say that I cannot be on the same train of fully supporting the organization. I will support you and your work. I can't do it. Ole Miss grad, worked at Georgia. Live in Austin, worked at UT. It can't happen, right? But
totally understandable.
Love this opportunity. Hey, we keep it 100 on the pod.
Absolutely. But the question that I was going to ask, and like I said, I would love for us to rearrange it to put it before that, because that was such a stellar answer, is, yeah, you work in sports, but you also have some really good stuff. I saw a post that you made the other day of some of your previous freelance work. Kind of talk about that. How often do you try to get into, you know, doing some side projects? Is that something, you know, to kind of add to and stretch what you do for the organization that you're in? Or, you know, talk about your freelance side.
Yeah. No, I think how I got into freelance was just through my main jobs at each point and the connections I made there. So when I was at Fox Sports, there was Club Shay Shay with Shannon Sharp. Mm-hmm. He left. The social producer for that podcast reached out to me once I got to Georgia and had started his own company. But because of the work I did at the internship, he wanted me to still do that work. And then, you know, he brought in more clients. And so then just posting my work from Georgia, you get other people reaching out to you, seeing if you're interested in doing freelance. I probably overextend myself a little bit. But it's definitely fun to just do something outside of sports design.
Yeah, something different.
I did a lot of entertainment, like American Ninja Warrior.
I saw that. That's so cool.
I've done stuff for like talk shows, The Talk on CBS, and like Big Brother.
Love The Talk.
And so just like exploring what different clients need at different levels, and kind of like working with different people helps kind of be more versatile for me in my main job. I am taking a break, stepping into football. I just need to, you know, just get adjusted, figure out if I can do it. But it's been super beneficial for me.
Any favorite freelance projects that have stood out to you?
I mean, Club Shay Shay was 3 years, or like 2 years of doing that. Wow. So just seeing it grow. And
that's like consistency. That's cool to see too.
And like seeing, there was a podcast episode with Cat Williams that like broke the internet.
Oh yeah. I watched that one.
Yeah.
I still haven't watched.
So just seeing the work and like that I've made and seeing the podcast grow in real time. And I didn't publicly post about it because, you know, I just felt like I wanted to keep that to myself, promote my Georgia stuff while I'm there. But just knowing that, you know, I had a hand in that whole thing, and it felt good.
That's really cool.
Something that you just said, and without even really saying it, like, yes, you were doing these, you know, side quests, especially like Club Shay Shay and American Ninja Warrior, but you're posting the work not to like just get all of this opportunity, but people just seeing the work, right? And it's not like, oh, I'm looking for more work. Like, I see people that post like that, and they're like, hey, if you guys ever, it's always like a call out for like more.
A call and to action.
You're just organically saying like, hey, I worked on this. This is, you know, something that I enjoy doing. People see that. Social media is, and if you don't use, I know you're new to TikTok, but if you have Threads, I will tell you the power of Threads is that it is the best algorithm of all the social platforms. Maybe not TikTok. I don't know. I don't use TikTok.
Yeah, but I feel like it might change tomorrow. The moment I get adjusted to one, then someone else comes in.
Here's why I say it's the best, right? It reminds me some sort of kind of way of old Twitter.
Yeah.
2 weeks
ago. I think
that's
what they're trying to become.
Right. And I love it because people loved the old Twitter. I posted 2 weeks ago. I had someone reach out for an opportunity in Houston. Well, I had just signed up for an event here in Austin. And I was like, I've already paid money to go to this. So I put on Threads this, hey, I'm looking for a videographer in Houston.
Oh, I think I saw that post.
And I had 10 people reach out.
That's
right?
Cool.
So, and I've seen this happen, not just for me, but with other people. Every day, people are like, hey, I'm looking for a videographer. I'm a videographer. Threads has read that, hey, this person is creative. I'm going to put it in their feed. But for those people out there who are looking to get more opportunity, there are people on there daily, 24/7, looking for people like you. So post the work and opportunity will come to you, especially if you're good. Like when I saw that post that you posted the other day, I was like, oh, not only does he have all this experience with these different brands, it's really good. So more people will see them like, oh, cool. A, he does freelance. 2, he's really good. Let me just reach out and see if, you know, if I have something come up. I posted on my LinkedIn for the first time in like a long time, like last week. I had a former coworker reach out to me this past week. I was like, this dude did not have my email. Like, we haven't worked together in at least 6 years at Texas. And sends me an email with one of his coworkers for an opportunity. He's like, hey, you were the first person that I thought about. And I was like, how? We have not talked in 6 years. You didn't even know that I had a company unless you follow me on LinkedIn, right? But the lady today, I talked to her and she was like, yeah, he told me that he had seen you on LinkedIn and it triggered something. Post the work.
Post the work.
Make it. With good intention, like not just to say, oh, I'm opposed so that people can bring me opportunity, sometimes it's about simply staying top of mind. If you're top of mind
and authenticity
and authentic, right? Like I had that conversation today and the lady was like, you know what? Maybe I jumped the gun, but I'm glad that we're still having this conversation because it's adding more people to the mix, right? Every opportunity that's a missed opportunity isn't necessarily a missed opportunity. Sometimes it's just not for you. I feel like,
or the opportunity might be for a future opportunity.
Absolutely, and that's what I was getting to. Absolutely. Yeah. Just because you reach out today, like Will, like you just said it, like, okay, I'm taking a step back from the freelance side to adjust to football, right? But knowing that you do freelance or have, somebody may have an opportunity in 4 or 5 months, right? Because people aren't just listening to the, I mean, we don't even know when the hell this podcast is going to air, right? But people may hear this in November and be like, oh, man, let me add him to the mix for after football season. And then I'll reach out and see. I mean, you got 2 jobs based on you posting your work. So it works. But yeah, you also weren't just putting it out there. Hey, I'm Will Witte. I'm a graphic designer. Hire me. You're like, hey, I'm just sharing my work. And you get rewarded for posting your work, being consistent. Just kind of, you know, like I took the summer off from posting. And I probably had 3 or 4 or 5 conversations since I started back posting stuff on Instagram. So it can work for you. You just, you know, just don't pay attention to what everybody else is doing. Like trying to chase something. Do it like Karina said, be authentic. Do it because you want to. Do it with good intentions. And, you know, just keep moving forward. So we're proud of you.
I'm excited
as hell for you. Hate to see you leave, you know, all my peeps at Georgia, but this is a great opportunity for you. And I absolutely know that you will kill it. And if you ever come to Austin, like, let's definitely, you know, grab coffee, grab a beer, whatever, you know, grab water if that's, you know, your speed. And, you know, always love to connect with other creatives. And that's why we do this podcast, is to, you know, connect with new people, not only for us, but to connect other creatives across the, you know, across the world, because we've had, you know, some international guests on here. So it's fun. But thanks again for taking the time out to.
No, thank you for having me.
This was awesome.
Yeah.
And we're excited to see what you do in College Station.
Yeah.
Thank you.
As long as you're not playing Ole Miss or Georgia, I'm rooting for you, bro.
Love it.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day.
Special thanks to APM for providing the music used in the podcast today.
We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives.
If you're not a member and would like to join, go to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.